In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. As we come before the Lord this day, we give praise and thanks to God for the gift of life and all the goodness that we find here. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that always pondering spiritual things, we may carry out in both word and deed that which is pleasing to you.
Kind and merciful. Kind and merciful, the Lord is kind, kind and merciful.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and he causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion.
So back when I was in like fifth or sixth grade, I used to enjoy reading choose your own adventure novels. So these are, you'd be reading through this storyline, it's kind of a first person thing, you're on your little adventure, and you would come to a crossroads in the story. Maybe you come up to a door in this old ominous looking house. And I'd say, if you want to go through the door, go to page 56. If you want to keep going down the path into the dark woods, go to page 73. And then you can continue with the adventure. So you could it could become like five different novels, depending on the choices that you use. So I always kind of enjoyed those. Well, as I was praying with this scripture today, especially in the first half of the gospel, I came up with three really different ways of understanding this, of interpreting this. So I think this is going to be a choose-your-own-adventure homily, because I don't know which one of them you need to hear. Okay, so I'm going to give you all three. Don't worry, it's not going to be like three full-blown homilies, but three choices, so you can choose which one really applies to your life. By the way, Jesus is really a long preacher. You realize this is the fourth week we've been going on the same sermon from Jesus. This is all the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and we're not done yet. It keeps on going. But I think Len's going to get in the way. All right, so to choose your own adventure, Jesus says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which is actually that's not a bad rule. That's actually a good thing, because that saved a lot of people. Usually we don't stop with that. I mean, can you imagine like a bar fight? You're watching, you're hopefully not participating in, but you're seeing a bar fight, and one guy gets punched in the eye. So the guy who gets punched in the eye, does he ever just say, okay, time for me to punch you in your eye, and then we're good? That's usually not the way it goes. It's like, you're going to hit me in the eye, I'm going to hit you in your life, you know, and it's like the shoulders flare out and, you know, vengeance becomes the way things go, typically. So it's not usually eye for an eye. That's actually a fairly decent rule, okay? But Jesus says that's not even enough. So you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, but I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Wow, that's kind of an amazing one to think about there. And if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other one as well. So there's a few different ways we can think about this. We can think about this as hyperbole, because Jesus uses hyperbole a lot. He says something shocking to get your attention, And he says, that's not literally what I mean, but I want you to think about this. So we can interpret this as hyperbole. Jesus says, offer no resistance to an evil one at all. And maybe what he's saying there is break that cycle of violence, because violence runs on a cycle. You know, someone does violence to me, I either want to do violence back to that person, or I'll pay it forward, and I'll brood over the violence done to me and take it out on someone else who is innocent. Somehow this cycle kind of keeps on trucking, because I want to get retribution or something out of this. And maybe what Jesus is saying is, we got to notice that there's a cycle there. An eye for an eye just keeps us on that hamster wheel of violence. What if we can think creatively and come up with some other way, some way of short-circuiting that cycle, taking us off of that hamster wheel of violence so that we can be a force for good in the world instead of just getting retribution, participating in that cycle, okay? So that's one possibility. It could be that. It could be that Jesus is speaking with hyperbole here. Another way we can read this is to take it literally, but the body language that we use in enacting these things would be important. So literally, but instructively. So for instance, Jesus says, if someone strikes you on your left cheek, turn and give the right one as well. Okay, so one way you can do that, so say you get hit on the left cheek. Okay, you can offer, it's not just a matter of like inviting someone to hit you on the right cheek. Maybe you make really good, like solid eye contact with this person, as if to say, do you realize what you just did? Like, why are you resorting to violence? And then you offer the right one as well. Like when you're staring them down in the eye, say, notice what's going on here. There's a better way to solve this, you know? If someone imposes upon you to walk a mile under this burden, whatever it is, when you get to the end of the mile and they're like, okay, we're done, you're like, nope, we're going to keep on going. Take it 2 miles. But help them to notice maybe how they're taking advantage of you. But again, doing it in a nonviolent way, no retribution, just more instructive. Okay, so that might be the thing, because to simply say, offer no resistance at all to someone who is evil, that could leave us vulnerable to being really taken advantage of in negative ways or even abused. And I don't think that Jesus wants that for us. Okay, so to make sure that there's no like abuse happening there, maybe to do the thing literally but instructively. Again, this is a creative way of breaking through that cycle. Okay, so that's the second possible option for this. And then the third one is actually simply to take it literally, to take Jesus at his word. That's the hardest one. And I think we have to do this with caution, because again, I don't think Jesus wants us to be abused, to suffer abuse and just receive that in some particular way. But there may be a season in your life where this is called for. There may be a specific incident, and it's not going to be everything, but maybe in one time in reading this and in encountering this scripture, you'll be in the midst of a situation where it's like, yeah, I need to just let this play out and not impose my part on this. Maybe the Holy Spirit will speak that particular message to you at some points in your life. It might be either one of those three, and I don't know which one of those you need to hear. So I just invite you to take these with you and pray with them along the way, and see what the Holy Spirit wants to share with you. Which one of them will be more significant for whatever incident is happening in your life. Now the second one, I think this one is a little clearer, and this is a tough one. This one really gets at us, I think. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now even that part, I can get that. I can wrap my head around that. Loving my enemies, loving someone who has done something offensive against me. Because, again, that cycle of violence, maybe they're paying something forward. You know, a lot of times when someone gets angry at me, or, you know, is whatever the situation might be, there's a lot of times something else going on, you know? And maybe something's been, maybe you're suffering some other kind of wound that's causing you to lash out at me. And so I can understand praying for you in that regard. I want healing for you so that you're not going to act this way towards anyone else, you know? And then that can be the way that leads towards forgiveness. Where it's just like, I really want good things for you so that you're not hurting, so that we're not causing hurt among each other, you know? So I can wrap my mind around that. The one that part of this section that really blew my mind was where he talks about that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So as I was thinking of that particular phrase there, what came to mind was an interaction I saw between two priests that I know, and one of them I like and one of them I don't. I'm not going to get into the reasons, but there's a past there. And so we were at this big social thing, whatever, and they were laughing, telling stories over a beer, and just kind of interacting with each other in that way. And I saw that, and it was remarkable to me, because the priest that I don't like, I just avoid him all the time at these gatherings, you know? And the priest that I do like, I know that he really has big disagreements with this guy as well. It's not like, you know, throwing punches, priest brawl. This is more like attitudes towards things and very strong different opinions, right? So I know this guy that I like also has these different opinions, but one of the things I really like about him is he's one of these kind of people that when you are in front of him, you are the only person in the world. And he can just engage pretty much anyone. I've never seen him really, at least outwardly, have any kind of a struggle with any person. He's just this really compassionate person. And so he was engaging this other guy on kind of neutral and good turf and kind of just not even looking at the things that they have in disagreement with each other. And I thought that was pretty marvelous. He was allowing his sun, his rain, to shine on anyone no matter what his attitude is, no matter what the disagreements might be. He's allowing his sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And so I was thinking of this. I find it actually easier to love and care for my enemies than to let my sun shine on someone that I might just like have a difference of opinion with. Or, you know, do I play favorites? That's always a rough question. You know, who am I neglecting in my life? Am I allowing my sun to shine on everyone or just the people who can do something for me? Whew. That's a big question to confront, you know? Because that's the kind of light that we are supposed to be. Remember, all of the Sermon on the Mount is coming from the starting point where Jesus says, you are salt for the earth and light for the world. And that's what a Christian really is supposed to be, to allow your light to shine, like the Father, on the just and the unjust, and not really playing any favorites, but just allowing that light to shine. It's a great, great little piece to take with you into prayer. How am I allowing my light to shine? How am I kind of obscuring that along the way? And he finishes with that line, you should be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, which we tend to hate because of the way we think of the word perfect in English. Perfect for us usually means flawless. So just be flawless. That's all you got to do. Like God is flawless, and then you'll be fine. Yeah, that's a pretty high bar, you know? But the word in Greek here, teleao, there's the verb, telos is the noun, and a telos is the end for which something is made, the completion, the fullness of it. Okay, so I think that's what he's talking about when he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's get to the, like, live according to the reason for which you were made, you know? Live in the fullness of who you are. And the way we do that is by allowing the Savior to live in us, to shine out from us. That's why we need a Savior. I don't know if, I can't, on my own power, allow my light to shine on the just and the unjust. My feelings get in the way, you know, and I get distracted and all these other things. But that's why the Savior came to save me and to save you. When we are constantly in communion with Him in our prayer, and He is guiding our vision towards who we see out there, He allows us to allow our light to shine and our sweet rain to fall on the just and the unjust, on the favorites and anyone else in my life. So Lord, we praise you and thank you for these really challenging readings today. And we ask you to help us to understand what each one of us here needs to receive from this. Help us to choose our adventure in following you. Help us to see who we are to love. Help us to see how we are to heal. Help us to see what you want us to be about in this time. Amen.
Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes.
Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we may experience the effects of the salvation which is pledged to us by these mysteries. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go forth now glorifying the Lord by your life.
Kind and merciful, kind and merciful, the Lord is kind and merciful.